The Book of Consciousness. Quote, "You are greater than you know," quote by an ancient aphorism. Here's the summary. Consciousness is all of your awareness of the moment, plus all that you have ever known or experienced, plus all that you don't even know that you know. Consciousness, subconsciousness, superconsciousness. ID, ego, superego. These are but the terms we use to describe the elusive substance of our non-physical being. In this book, we explore the meaning of the words, I am. Who am I? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Who am I? I can conceive of myself as being separate from my physical body. I have a physical body, and I am not just my physical body. Likewise, my emotions are separate from me. I have emotions, such as love, hate, and anger, but I am more than just these emotions. Now I can take my physical body and my emotions and set these aside. Still, there is something left. So who am I? Perhaps I am my consciousness. And yet I do exist in the sleep state, often without consciousness. So who am I? I can think of no more frustrating and perplexing task than to think on this question. It seems unfair that a question so simple to ask can be so hard to answer. In this book, we will look at the three levels of consciousness and how each functions. Through understanding these levels, we are able to and do create all that we experience. Thus, the knowledge of these levels, conscious, subconscious, superconscious, is the key to success, whatever that may be for you. And perhaps through understanding and using these levels, we will find the answer to the question, who am I? The most familiar of the levels of the consciousness is the conscious level. It is the ordinary state of mind when you are awake. You are at your conscious level as you listen to these words, as you eat or do your daily chores. Many people in the world think that the conscious level is all that there is. In fact, it is only a very, very small part of your being. The conscious level of your mind has two main functions. Number one, it directs your attention, and number two, it gives orders to the other levels. In other words, the conscious level is the boss of the organization. He is the foreman that says, look over here, and now this is exactly what I want done. Thus, all that you do, every plan that you make, every goal you set, every action you do, begins under the direction of conscious effort. In fact, it begins with attention. From the numerous sights, sounds, smells, and sensations that surround you every moment, you select those which fit into the pattern of your attention at that moment. Seated in a busy restaurant, you may choose to hear the banging and clatter of the dishes from the kitchen, or you may concentrate on the words of your companion. In each case, the other sounds are regulated to the fringe of your consciousness. They exist only as part of the background noise. So it is when listening to a speaker or reading a book. You select only those ideas which tend to fit in with your ideas about that subject. Perhaps you have experienced this. You have a new interest, such as flying. Suddenly, you will begin to notice articles in the paper or a comment on TV, or you'll hear someone mention something related to flying or planes. Notice how your whole world has become interested in flying. Has the world changed? No. There are probably the same proportion of references to flying in the paper and on TV as always. Only now your attention has a different focus. We hear exactly what we want to hear is the truth. We perceive what we want to perceive. Watch a professional magician in action if you want to learn the laws of attention. He can hold your attention on one hand while the other skillfully and often openly performs the deception. Pickpockets are equally skilled in manipulating attention, and so are some parents. I know the fastest way to get my daughter over a skinned knee is to shift her attention elsewhere. Most people in this world let their attention run in a random fashion. They hear the loudest noise, see the biggest object. They hear the side of the question that supports their belief and practically ignore the other side. They do step two after step one, and step three after two, and so on down the line. Their attention follows the path of least resistance. But it doesn't have to be that way. The conscious mind controls attention, and not the other way. If you choose, right now you can turn off these tapes and turn your attention elsewhere. You can choose to listen to the last page of these manuscripts first. You can choose to see the fun side of your work. You can choose to keep your attention on the positive side, the good traits of your mate. You can choose to see an event as funny or humiliating. The conscious mind directs the attention and directs it specifically to those points it wants to see. The second major function of the conscious mind is to give orders. It is the conscious mind that says, get out of bed, lift that book, put a smile on your face, look successful. The conscious mind is the supervisor who directs the work. It is not the worker. If you doubt me, just try to pick up a pencil by consciously directing each muscle individually. Very frankly, I don't even know which muscle starts. Yet I can consciously give the order to pick up the pencil. On the other side, you do not do anything without the direction of the conscious mind. No amount of wishing gets you out of bed. You can want to and know you should, and the alarm goes off and you know you ought to, but only when the conscious mind actually gives the specific order, get out of bed, do all the muscles coordinate to make it reality. Just as with attention, most people's minds don't pay much heed to the orders they give. Yes, go ahead and clean your plate, even if you're not hungry or you don't like what is on it. Go ahead and do it if you feel like it. What does it matter that it does not feel good tomorrow? Slap the child when she talks back. Never mind that it didn't feel good when you were a child. Most people's orders follow the path of habit. Again, it doesn't have to be that way. Choose to skip that dessert. Give the order to be ready on time. Decide to talk it out rather than lose your temper. The conscious mind gives the orders that result in actions, or it chooses not to give the order, which is just a different type of order. Stand up for your rights is an order, and so is don't stand up for your rights. The conscious mind always gives the orders. Now, let's turn our attention to the workhorse of the mind, the subconscious. The subconscious is a giant compared to the conscious mind. It's the source of our memory, the seat of our emotions, the doer of habit patterns, the controller of most of the functions of the physical body, and the source of much of our thinking and creativity. It's on the job, awake or asleep, and regardless of what is holding the mind's attention. The subconscious mind is the source of power, the motivating force behind our being. Thus, to change life, to create a new you, you must be willing to look at and work with the subconscious. The subconscious has four major functional areas. Number one, programs. Number two, memory. Number three, emotion. And number four, creativity. The knowledge, mental activities, and processes related to these areas, by and large, function outside the conscious level. Only as we direct our attention to a specific area do we become aware of it. Pause and listen to your heartbeat. The control of your heartbeat is the subconscious. And this is the way it should be. If your conscious attention were required for every detail of movement and function in your body, there would be no time for anything else. Thus, the subconscious must always remain chiefly subconscious. The key to working with the subconscious is to selectively direct the conscious mind to the areas of the subconscious which you desire to change. Take, for example, your heartbeat. Just suppose for the moment that it is desirable or necessary to increase the rate. First, you would direct your attention to your heartbeat. Then you would give it directions to increase through visualization or affirmations. Try it. See yourself racing in the Grand Prix, or running in the surf of Waikiki, or dancing to the sounds of an African drum, or simply repeat rapidly, beat faster, 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 faster. Now pause and check. Is your heart beating faster? If you really got into the exercise, really saw those images, it will be. You have used your conscious mind through attention and giving directions to affect processes under the control of the subconscious. Let us now briefly look at the four areas mentioned above. Programs. In the area of programs, I include the vital processes of the body, body muscle control, and habit patterns, both physical and mental. That covers a lot. Many people feel that the body automatically runs itself, which is only partially true. As we saw above, these vital processes, which normally are taken for granted, can be, and frequently are, altered by conscious thought. To this area, we could also add the natural healing forces of the body. There is little argument today, even among medical circles, that mental states radically affect the physical body. Hence, many authorities hold the point of view that all diseases, at least in the conception stage, are the result of disturbances in the emotional nature, that is, disturbances in the subconscious, either real or fancied. Then it is but one step further to the conclusion that the clearing up of the disturbances at the subconscious level will allow natural healing forces to work and thus restore health. Other programs in the subconscious realm include habit patterns, which were mentioned at the end of the Book of Attitude. Just like the physical programs, these can function for either the good or the bad of the individual. Unfortunately, the subconscious does not make a distinction between beneficial and destructive. It simply accepts and translates into a habit that which comes to it repeatedly. Many a smoker and social drinker has discovered the truth of this statement. Repeat any action many times, and it will become a habit, and the conscious will learn to like it. Think back, if you are a smoker, to the very first time you smoked anything. Was it pleasant? How did it become pleasant? With repetition. The same applies to the emotional or reactional habits. Think of a person who always reacts negatively to every suggestion you make. That is a habit. And what's more, that person likes that habit, else he would not do it. Memory. The subconscious is the storehouse of the memory. In fact, many psychologists now believe that the subconscious stores all sensations that come into the subconscious through the five senses, no matter how subtle or silent they may be. Also stored with the memory of senses are memories of reactions and emotions stirred by the experience. Persons who have had a near-death experience frequently recount memories of long-forgotten events in minute detail. But perhaps even more amazing is the cross-indexing of the memory. Think about it. You can recall incidents according to time, place, who was there, feelings, what was said, what was done. And all of that is done automatically. Your memory banks are more complete and better cross-referenced than the best library in the world. However, you also have a way of putting memories in an area called forgotten. Forgetting is not a passive action of failure to remember. Forgetting is an active process. That is, it is done on purpose. This was one of Sigmund Freud's major discoveries. Forgetting is an active process used to protect the individual from painful experiences. Thus, you remember what and who you want to remember. Generally, when you leave a seminar or a meeting, you carry with you a variety of recollections. A most interesting experiment is to go back through your notes or tapes and discover what you chose to forget and why. Next, we have emotions. Emotions and feelings come from the subconscious. They come out of the subconscious in response to a conscious stimulus. Since they are not the result of a conscious thinking process, emotions often seem baffling and confusing. I don't know why I feel that way. I just do. I can't help the way I feel. Such statements, I know, are familiar to you. The conscious stimulus has, unknowingly to the individual, triggered an emotional memory, a feeling which was stored in memory. And if that feeling was generated by a memory we chose to forget, then there is no conscious recollection of why we have that feeling. Many modern psychological treatments are just processes of matching up feelings with memories and uncovering memories we have placed in the forgotten file. Generally, it is the negative emotions that give people problems. These are the ones that we don't like and try to avoid. There are really only two basic negative emotions, anger and fear. The ancient Buddhist called anger the burning passion and fear the freezing passion. Although both destroy, they do so by different methods. All the other negative emotions are a combination of these two. Jealousy, the burning desire to punish, combined with the fear of loss. Inferiority, the fear of not being good enough. Shame, a burning anger at itself. Greed, hate, malice. I leave these for you to analyze. In each of these emotions, and any time a negative emotion arises, there is a pain, a resentment, or a grudge, and a desire to escape or avoid the cause. When a negative emotion arises somehow, either in the present or the past memory, the self-respect has been injured. For the young child who sees the world as centering on himself, there are many emotional hurts, both real and imagined. It is not the incident, even in the case of the very unpleasant experience, but the emotional impact, which is the hurt. Thus, the adult, looking at an emotional hurt of childhood, can use his adult perspective to reevaluate both the incident itself and the emotional impact. This is the key for dealing with negative emotions. Next, we have creativity. From the subconscious springs creativity. I discovered this some years back, mostly by accident. I was working on a problem I could not solve and, in total frustration, gave up. The next day, while cutting the lawn, the answer just popped into my head. This happened more than once. So after a while, whenever I had a problem and no answer, I would give that problem to my subconscious. Of course, I didn't call it that. I generally referred to it as, "Hey, you." I would say, "Hey, you, I have this problem, and the solution must include this and this. now. I've got to have the answer by the day after tomorrow, so please be ready. And sure enough, the answer would be there. Not only the answer, but all the details, too. I don't worry about how the subconscious gets the answers. I just use the results. Many great artists and thinkers have explained their genius in the same way. Albert Einstein said thoughts would just float in. And Mozart heard the aria of the quartet of the Magic Flute while playing billiards. Robert Louis Stevenson dreamed of the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, then woke up and merely copied it down. Richard Bach woke up one night and heard the first half of the story, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And 2 years later, he woke up and heard the second half. The creativity of the subconscious is unlimited. Most people go along and never experience their creativity. They run old programs or follow the normal way of doing things. Creativity is not just painting a picture, writing a poem, or doing a modern dance. It's a way of life. Every activity can become a creative experience. Have you ever had animal pancakes? Those are pancakes poured into the shape of cows, cats, sea monsters, giraffes. My daughter and I had them this morning. And how about a game of checkers on the tile floor? Ever celebrate a sunrise or toast at a moonset? Kids live creative lives, and it doesn't have to change as we grow up. I have a very dear friend who every day of her life makes it a point to do something new, something she has never done before. She is one of the most excited, creative, fun people that I have the pleasure of knowing. If you want to experience your own creativity and the excitement it can build in your life, just try her recipe for a week. Every day for 1 week, do something new, something you have never done before. I'll bet within a week's time you'll be hooked. If the subconscious controls programs, memory, emotions, and creativity, and the conscious controls attention and the doing of things, then what is left for the superconscious? The superconscious is the source of inspiration and intuition, the source of wisdom, as opposed to just knowledge and facts, and the source of energy or power. Some call it the universal knowledge, divine power, God. Because it operates through the subconscious and thus seldom is directly in our conscious attention, it may seem mysterious or unexplainable. The processes of this conscious mind do not apply at this level. Why should they? Rather than being contrary to reason, the superconscious operates beyond ordinary reason. I have often felt the influence of a protective power. You might call it a guardian angel, a spirit friend, a kindly genius, or patron saint. These are some of the times I'm aware of the superconscious. That I'm not daily aware of the operation of the superconscious says nothing about its operation, influence, or existence. Lack of awareness does not mean lack of existence. Just as with the superconscious, by directing attention to the superconscious, one becomes aware of its operation. In the superconscious is the unity of all things. Everything is known. There are no secrets. A mother senses the injury of her child. Telepathy, clairvoyance, psychokinesis, clairaudience. These are the processes of the superconscious. Also rooted in the superconscious are the basic assumptions of our own existence, space and time. Both are relative. A midge, microscopic animal, experiences its total lifetime in but 60 or less minutes. Does it have a less vivid experience than a tree that may survive 100 years? Can you imagine a different order of beings for whom a year is but a second? For them, a century would pass in little over a minute and a half. We say a person thinks in a flash, but perhaps he is only more in tune with the superconscious. To think is to create. And how fast I am able to create that which I think is a measure of awareness. The three levels of consciousness are not separate, but one. I refer to this as the Trinity of consciousness. Your consciousness consists of only that which you are aware of at the moment. Yet when I ask you to recall the events of yesterday, these recollections arise from the subconscious level to the conscious level. So where is the line between conscious and subconscious? There is none. Nor is there a line between the subconscious and the superconscious. Everything is known. There is a reason, however, for talking about these different levels and looking at the different processes of the mind. That reason is to make a point. The understanding of which is the sum total of all I have said so far in this book. This message is summed up in the quotation which was said at the beginning of the Book of Consciousness. The Trinity of Consciousness is not a new concept. It dates back to the beginning of written records. The Egyptians spoke of Ka, the subconscious, and the body-mind, the conscious mind. The early Christians translated the concept to the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Freud saw it as the ego, superego, and the id. The years to come will give us even more, until that time when man can understand and be all that he is capable of being. Now I'm going to talk about a concept, a thought process, which is very, very powerful. In fact, it is the foundation upon which all the other concepts are built. It is the I am concept. This is a concept which I study daily, even now. I was promoted to work with this concept as a young man. For our neighborhood, I was normal, like everyone else, as opposed to natural, which is good or as it should be. Everyone felt not okay. Everybody felt less than. Everybody felt worthless, as though life had no meaning. I felt that way, and I had difficulty coping with experiences. Daily, my buttons would get pushed. That is, small things would trigger emotional reactions, which seemingly I could not control. For example, in church, I would hear that the teacher Jesus said, in effect, "All things I have done, you can do also, and I have come as a pattern unto mankind." He was saying, "All those things I did, you are supposed to do," right? I would look at his life. He had a goal, a purpose, and nothing stopped him. He had liberty. He did what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. Sure, I wanted to be that kind of person, have that kind of liberty, but I would sit back and say to myself, "I can't do that. I can't be that. He was special." I would just sit and justify my miserable lack of progress. I would justify my limitations and my position in life. I could justify the bad grades, the lack of money, and my inability to communicate. My friends at school and work were right there helping me. Are you not justifying something right now? Are you not saying, "I can't because"? Are you not doing what I did as a youth? I would like to challenge you to stop justifying. The I am concept is the way to stop justifying. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Proverbs 23:7. Now, what does that mean, thinketh in his heart? My heart does not think. My subconscious is the part with most of the programs and processes. And that is exactly what it means. As I believe in my subconscious, so am I. Isn't that beautiful? That one simple statement can tell us why we are as we are. No justifications or complex theology, just a simple statement that everyone can understand. Okay, you say, I buy that. As I am in my subconscious. I am. Now, what if I do not like what I am? What if I am not reaching my full potential? What if I am not experiencing more of me? The solution is now obvious. If you don't like the way that you are thinking, the way that you are in your subconscious, then change your thinking. The problem is most people do not know how. And I'll tell you how. It's easy. Just think about the problem, i.e. direct your attention, and then see the solution repeatedly as you want it to be, i.e. give the orders, through the screen of the mind and affirmations. Repeated actions become a habit in the subconscious. The subconscious does not care about right or wrong, good or bad. It just takes what it gets most often and turns that into a habit pattern, which becomes the reality. So if you give the subconscious pictures and thoughts of what you want to be often enough, these will become the patterns, your I ams of the subconscious level. Every great thinker and positive leader has said this. Jesus, Buddha, Gandhi, Lao Tzu, Muhammad. Why? Because this is the basic law, a fundamental truth. And one of the things that you need to realize is that no one lives outside the law. Ignorance is no excuse. Nobody lives outside the law. Either you are liberated by the knowledge of the law, or you are placed in bondage by ignorance of the law. The law either sets limits for you or removes them. Thus, my ignorance of the law placed me as a youth in bondage to poverty, to low grades, and to feelings of less than. Now that I have knowledge of the law, it provides me with the liberty of wealth, intelligence, and self-confidence. The mind is like a very fertile field. Imagine this with me now. See in your mind the most fertile field you can create. Dark, moist, and rich soil. Know that with assurance, whatever seeds you will plant will grow. Most of us do not understand that sowing the seeds once is not enough. As farmers, we must stand there and be sentinel. We must stand there and chop out the weeds, because the weeds, the negativity in life, will destroy or limit the crop. The negativity is there, and if we do not watch and guard against it, then we are going to grow that also. Negativity will limit the harvest. Guarding the field of the mind takes great care. Maturity is becoming aware of the responsibility of our minds. Being mature is more than a physical thing. Dogs, cats, and the body mature physically, but a man and woman mature mentally also. They do this by accepting the responsibility for their thinking. This is the real meaning of maturity. As I began to come out of the ignorance of my youth and understand this concept, I began to work with it for about 15 minutes each day. My results were very nil. The return was small. I had a very large garden, as each of us do, and I was working in it only 15 minutes each day. The garden of the subconscious needs enough care so that it is balanced. It needs enough care so that what needs to be done is done. I needed to work on it every minute of the day. The results for me from doing this have been very pleasant, very sweet. I like the results. I have said that this concept, the I am concept, is the foundation of all concepts. It is the bottom rung on the ladder. You cannot get to the second rung without some understanding of the I am concept. How do you know whether or not you know this concept? Well, it's very simple. The only way to judge is by results. Though often harsh, they are always fair. How do we know we understand the concepts? By results in life. By the successes, or lack of them, in our experiences. There is no other valid way. Take a moment now and list your successes. List those things that are going on right now in your life at this moment. How well have you understood the I am concept in the past? Mahatma Gandhi spoke of the I am concept when he said, "Man is at the center of a circle with an unlimited circumference." What are your limitations? Yes, you have them as long as you have health problems, as long as you are subject to the ups and downs of the economy, as long as you are victim to circumstances, as long as there are weeds in your garden. The great teachers have all said the same thing. Step back from your religion. Think of them as teachers and hear what they have to say. Did not Jesus say the same thing as Gandhi when he said, "You also can do these things"? Are they lying to us or telling us the truth? Did they tell us how to? Maybe Jesus gave us the how to when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14:6. I wonder for a moment what would happen if we were to step back and hear it a different way. Perhaps we should hear, "The I am is the way, the truth, and the life. The I am is the liberty. It produces the results." I dared to find out the validity of this concept. I dared to experiment with my I ams. I applied it to me. And do you know what I got? I got a lot of very positive results. I suddenly had a life that had meaning. I suddenly had liberty to do with what I wanted to do, to live the way I wanted to live. I felt better than I had ever felt before. What are your I ams? What are the thoughts you think about yourself every day? I don't mean what you would like to be or hope to be, but what you are based on results. If you have not already done so, make a list now of your I ams. Take the time at this point before you continue to make that list. Most people begin their I am something like this. I am a man. I am 38. I am a truck driver. I am a father. Or if they have had an awareness class or two, it might start more like this. I am happy some of the time. I am a lover. I am sad sometimes. I am getting tired of doing this. All the I ams listed above are alike. They just have different words. They are all limits on your circumference. Very few people in this world really understand the I am concept. I'm not talking about an intellectual understanding, nor a memory recall knowledge of the concept. When I say understand, I am referring to a digesting process. I mean a digesting of the I am program so that it becomes part of you. You know, the I am, you experience the I am on a minute-to-minute basis in your life. And when by results your life is out of balance, out of gear, you can immediately check it and bring it back into focus. To those that understand the I am, the response to the I am question is simple. It is, I am a leader. Notice your internal emotion reaction to those words. I am a leader. I'm not talking about a masculine-feminine thing. I'm not talking about being president of a corporation or a leader in the household. I'm not talking about a leader of people. Those are the results of leadership. You can be a leader with no one following you. Instead, I am talking about the internal side of leadership, with you as an individual. I am talking about being a leader of self. The unique thing about leaders is that leaders have accepted the responsibility for their thinking. They have accepted the responsibility for the results in their lives. And if they do not like the results, they change them. They take the negative and make it a positive. Leaders accept responsibility. They understand the sowing process. By controlling the conscious mind, they control the casting of seeds into the subconscious mind. By controlling the way they think, they are accepting the responsibility for what they are. Listen to your I ams. You are your I ams, the ones you feel in your gut. And the moment that you say, I refuse to listen to my limitations anymore, I refuse to be this or that, I am happier, I am healthier, I am more open, I am more trusting, you start becoming that way. Every day as you repeat these statements, you move in that direction. A month, 3 months, a year down the pike, you are more happy, more healthy, more open, and more trusting than you were. If only I could believe and have faith, you say. That is easy. Just keep lying to yourself long enough, and you will believe it. Remember, the subconscious takes what it gets. It takes the orders you consciously give it, right or wrong, true or false, and creates. You do not have to be dishonest. You do not have to go around telling the whole world that you're rich if you're not at the moment. You only have to tell yourself that, and tell yourself again and again and again until you believe it and feel it in your gut. Will you accept the responsibility for you? Do you really want to feel better tomorrow? If you do, watch the seed you cast today. Watch how you think. Feelings are the result of how you think. You can achieve anything that is positive and worthy of you. The superconscious is the source of the power. The subconscious will do the work for you. Understand that all that is positive and worthy of you is available to you. You are in tune with the infinite. Much of what I have said so far in these manuscripts may seem very philosophical. So I'm going to say it again, only in a practical, this is the way I do it fashion. I'm not saying anything different. I'm only saying it differently. I think about my subconscious. I visualize it as being a genie, the same type of all-powerful genie that Aladdin had in his magic lamp. I visualize my genie as being a young girl of about 9 or 10, with beautiful flowing brown hair and big innocent brown eyes. I call her Genie. I see her as the innocence of youth, and yet with a depth in her eyes from which comes power. This is indeed the subconscious. It is not chained by custom, culture, or guilt. It awaits my every command. Genie sits and waits until I send her a command. After I had discovered the existence of my genie, I said to her, Genie, I want to be wealthy. Okay, she said, I will bring forth wealth in abundance. Then I said, Genie, I want to be happy. I want to have joy. Again, she went off and set about bringing happiness and joy into my life. Then one day I said, Genie, I'm discouraged. Okay, she said, and brought me discouragement. Then I began to understand a little more about that genie and realized that she listened very carefully to me. Then later I said, Genie, I know you can do all things. So go and bring me that high mountain over there. I want that mountain. Sure, she said, and off she went. Now as she left, a thought occurred to me. That mountain is awfully big, and I thought, no one has ever been able to move it. And before I had even finished the thought, Genie walked back through the door. Okay, if that's what you say, she said. At that moment, I understood. I understood the meaning of the I am concept. I understood the role of the subconscious. You see, Genie, my genie, was listening to even my silent thoughts. I didn't have to shout commands to her. She knew even my casual thoughts. No one has ever been able to move it before. It was just another order to her. The subtle suggestion, the little damaging command, these gentle influences are heard by the subconscious. You must have faith and trust in your genie to carry out both the little and the big tasks you assign to her. So I started with the little things, things that didn't seem to matter much. Then gradually I trusted her with larger and larger projects until I now have total and complete faith in her abilities. I believe in me. I know that I know that I can. Where did I start? I started with drawing pictures in my mind, on the screen of my imagination, of how I wanted to be. The expression on my face, the way my hair would look, what type of clothing I would wear, the personality, the image I would project. Then I asked Jeannie to create this image, just as I saw it. I continued to see in every detail, every aspect of my new image, a happy person, self-confident and successful. I saw myself being of service, being successful and reaping the rewards of that success. At first, I couldn't afford a dozen designer suits, but I could afford one. My first car was not a Lincoln Continental, but every time I opened the door of that car, every time I stepped inside, I saw and felt the feel of that Lincoln Continental. And Jeannie did her work. I saw and felt and lived the man I wanted to become. And now, I am he. You are greater than you know.
This is the end of this disc. The program continues on the next disc.